This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And yeah, they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. No more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phones there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. A couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And yeah, I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off an amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
Right, let's get on with the show.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is @feel_supreme. Or their website, www.feelsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Blake Harrison, how are you today?
I am very, very good. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. It's not that late, and we've just watched the UFC.
It's 20 to midnight. That's incredible, isn't it?
It's great.
We're being very specific on this. It is 20 to midnight.
I think we've all got a bit overexcited because normally when UFC finishes, it's sort of 5 a.m. and you're already thinking about what I call like a UFC hangover the next day.
Yes.
Where you're just sluggish, your kids want to do stuff and you just can't be arsed. And you just want to have a sofa day, but it's never going to happen.
Exactly right. But also, the other exciting thing, the reason I'm so happy, is we're not alone today.
No, we're not.
It's not just your ugly mug I've got to look at.
Charming.
I've got other people. Other people I get to look at. Because we're here in the man cave of one Scroobius Pip.
Hello, guys.
What?
Yeah, I'm fuming that you two are painting the facade
that you ever stay up and watch the UFCs live. I'm the only one here who's sitting there at 5 o'clock waiting for the main card. You two are normally getting up at 5 o'clock to watch it before your kids wake up.
That is absolutely accurate,
yeah.
I sometimes manage the prelims and we're having a little WhatsApp chat and then I wake up the next day like, where the fuck are you?
It's normally, oh, Stu's falling asleep. Night, night.
Brian Lacey's here. How you doing?
Mate, I'm here. It's a pleasure. It's an honour to have watched the UFC with you boys. Very, very enjoyable indeed.
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, we've done a few post and pre-shows, haven't we? And we've never all sort of met.
No, so I've never met Pip or Brian in really? Person before.
I don't remember. It's my first time. It's good. Yeah.
I've met you once briefly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but I was walking through Shoreditch.
That's right.
And I spotted Brad's dog.
Yeah.
Brad
Bonnie.
Dog.
Bonnie
yeah,
was there.
Bonnie. And then I spotted Brad and you was with him.
Yeah.
And there was a hello, how are you all doing? And I was on my way to Acast and I think you were, I imagine you was going to do the podcast
we're just coming
the other
back.
Way.
We were going out, you were going in. So, right. Yeah, that was the podcast universe sorting that out. But, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Well, UFC Vegas, not UFC London. That's what we're here discussing.
Yeah. UFC Vegas 36. You can hashtag that if you want and try and get on the live UFC broadcast. Like someone here was able to do that.
Congrats,
yeah.
Brian, mate. That was Thank you, mate.
Honestly,
so good.
Thanks, Pip. I didn't want to bring it up. I'm not that type of guy. I wouldn't just drop that in on a podcast.
No, but some people would. Some people would just bring out the fact that they got for a second time on the old UFC broadcast live. No big deal, guys.
I got to say, honestly, it made me so happy. Like, that was a genuine... When it came out, I punched the air. I was like, yes.
It's such a good thing. We yes. had a little joke. We thought, oh, we'll all tweet during one... fight and see like if any of us do get on the broadcast. And when it did come on the broadcast, we were all like, yay, one of us got on the broadcast. This is great. It was awesome.
And then we got dressed again. It was good.
I mean, so it was a great card. It was a cursed card, as we've discussed on previous shows. Yes. Lots of fights didn't happen, and friends of the podcast, Paul Craig should have been fighting Gustafsson, Nathaniel yeah. Wood should have been fighting
Lerone Murphy.
Lerone, yeah. Casey should have been fighted as well.
Yeah, lots of people should have been fighting. Multiple reasons they didn't. Either opponents were injured or they had visa issues or the fighters themselves got injured. It was pretty much cursed. I think there's probably, as you've just mentioned, like 4 or 5 UK fighters that didn't make it onto the card tonight. But we did get a few. And we did get a few really good ones.
Oh, mate.
Cursed card, blessed podcast.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
We will get to the strike rate of the MMA fan podcast guests. It's kind of going from strength to strength. We had 3 out of 3 with the Cage Warriors trilogy. Mm. And now 4 out of 4, if you want to count Aspinall, who was on a little bit earlier than this fight week. I don't know if that's cheating, but it's either 4 out of 4 or 5 out of 5 in terms of all the guests that we had on for this these special episodes of this fight week. Unfortunately for some UK fans, one of those guests was Derek Brunson, mm-hmm. and he got the win over Darren Till in the main event of the evening. Should we start with that?
Let's do it. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so me, I'll start. Should I?
Well, it felt as if like a sting was going to drop there. Let's talk about that.
The main event. Well, it felt to me that Darren didn't really turn up.
Really? Do you think?
We're mindful that we don't want to keep saying as we spoke about earlier, because that was yes. very inclusive. It just... As soon as the wrestling kicked in, he looked like there was very little answer to it. I don't know what your thoughts were, gents.
To me, it felt exactly the same as the Kevin Holland fight, and Darren Till shouldn't be looking exactly the same as Kevin Holland, in that he looked threatening on his feet, but as soon as it was on the ground, he just didn't have anything. He didn't have any answers.
No.
And again, there's a world of difference in the level that those two fighters are at, so that shouldn't have been the case when Brunson is going in against someone who was talking about having a title shot if he won. But yeah, he did look threatening on the feet. Again, it's the typical thing. every round starts on the feet, right?
Yeah.
Every round he started looking like he could do something until he couldn't.
Yeah. But did you feel that just before he got took down and finished, like, that Till showed moments where it could have gone his way?
He's always dangerous. He's a high level striker. We look at his record before he finishes people. He's good on his feet, but there was huge holes on the ground. Like, just being caught and held down for that much, not controlling the posture, taking that amount of damage.
His eye
for in round one, that his eye was that bad. That would have been an issue going into rounds three, four, five. It's one of those things. It's more disappointing because there's so much about Darren Till that's great. He sells fights. He's got all the social media. He talks the talk. You look at the media day, all the things from him talking in Brazilian, getting a load of hype off of that, to the nature of him. You hear like Brunson talking about the messages he gets on his phone, 1 minute saying, how's the family, next minute. So he's got everything outside the cage. But this for me was like, it showed massive holes, huge holes in his game. And Derek Brunson is a phenomenal fighter. But if Darren Till was thinking the next step would be Israel Adesanya, that's there's a lot of work to do in my eyes.
Well, we spoke about that and we thought that if Till did get the win this evening, then he probably had a good chance of fast-tracking to a shot.
Yep. I think even maybe unfairly, if he'd have won and he had done it in style, like the way that third round looked like it could have gone before the takedown happened. I think it's highly possible that he would have leapfrogged Whittaker just because of the whole COVID problems and the fact that that fight would probably have to happen in Australia and New Zealand, and those countries have done very well with COVID. They locked things down very intensely. And it might have taken a long time for that fight to happen. So if Adesanya had said, hey, I'm ready to go in December, then Till probably would have got that fight over
a fresh matchup as well.
And it's a fresh matchup. And there's not many of those out there for Adesanya because he steamrolled a lot of that middleweight division. I think if we want to look at some positives for Till, the big criticisms of Till probably since the Masvidal fight, and I've said this myself a couple of times, is he seems almost too tentative. Mm-hmm. The fights with Kelvin Gastelum, the fights with Robert Whittaker, they seem to, yes, they're technical kind of chess matches, as it were, but it did seem like if he'd have just opened up and give it a bit more and pulled the trigger a bit more frequently, he could have done better in those fights. I know he won the Gastelum one, but it was very, very close. And tonight I felt like we saw that. He came out and he seemed to be very quickly, the first minute and a half, putting it towards Derek Brunson, landing with that left hand once or twice. Then Brunson got the takedown, the momentum shifted. Round two seemed to be pretty much all Brunson from what I remember. And round three, he clipped Brunson hard and it looked like Brunson could have been in big, big trouble. And then Brunson got the takedown. Till was able to sort of sweep him, but he swept him into the fence. And if it was in the open mat, he might have actually been able to sweep him all the way over. But the fence potentially saved Brunson there, and Brunson kind of bounced back off that, landed in mount, and then it was just game over. Because as Brian's pointed out, it feels harsh to say, particularly for an armchair fan, but you're right that there's holes in that ground game. And we saw that with Woodley. I know Woodley clipped him hard and he was kind of almost out of it when Woodley ended up kind of looking up. Was it a Darce choke when he tapped him out there? But it does seem like Darren Till off his back, as you say, just too many holes in the game.
But isn't it interesting that he wouldn't have seen those problems against Darbender, against the champ? He wouldn't have had to deal with the rest
of
them.
That's right.
The times he looked at his best in this fight was when he was on his feet, and that's what the Starbender fight would be. So weirdly, as much as I think, even if he'd won, I don't know if he would have earned a title shot, he would probably have a better chance against Starbender than against Brunson.
Wow, I completely agree.
Which is bizarre, because I think Starbender is the best in the division, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is the styles make fights, and I think the biggest shame of it all is that broken collarbone before he was going to fight Vittori. I know Vittori can take people down, but his wrestling's nowhere near as good as Brunson's, in my opinion. Till defended takedowns against Brunson, you know, at points, and it makes me think, had that fight gone ahead, Till versus Vittori, I think Till would have lit him up on the feet, mm-hmm. maybe would have been able to defend most of those takedowns that would have come his way as well, won that fight. And then he's got the fight with Stylebender because Till only needs one because yeah. Stylebender's constantly calling him out. He's got like 1.4 million followers on Instagram. The UFC know that he's the money fight in that division.
Is he still, though, after this?
I think he can still maybe be the money fight, but he's now got to work extra hard to get it, and I don't know if he can get past the people that will be in front of him.
Because he was no Nate Diaz, was he? He wasn't like it was an exciting fight. Like it was, he just got mauled for two rounds and had a moment where it looked okay, and then quite quickly he got stopped. So I think, you know, when you see these losses, you know, we've spoken at length about the Diaz Edwards. You know, that last 30 seconds still makes Nate the money fight. And I think what's Till showing at the moment that's going to give him any more longevity in that kind of area of, like, Till's the big money fight? I don't think he's done enough.
I think it's a weird era. I think the money fight isn't to do with wins and losses anymore. Because, as I said, you look at... You bring up Nate, we can bring up Connor.
Yeah.
We can bring up most of the money fights. Masvidal... They're not winning left, right and centre, but it's a forgetful era. It's a what happened last week era. And the UFC are great at putting together packages to show the best of someone and not necessarily show the worst of someone. So it seems, weirdly, if you go away for a bit, then you can come back of great value again.
Well...
What did we think of his walkout? No music.
I loved it. I thought it was going to be great. Yeah, I thought there was really an intensity and
that, wasn't there? Yeah,
yeah.
He did that before, didn't he? He's always said that the Sweet Caroline is for the fans. Mm. And when he fought against, was it against Whittaker when there was no fans?
Yeah.
He walked out to silence again. He saves that Sweet Caroline for the fans, which is. It is a lovely thing, and it's lovely to hope that maybe we can get that again. Hopefully in the UK with Darren Till. Maybe headlining a card or part of a card in the UK at some point soon.
You know what? As we were saying earlier, I think Till losing gives us a better chance of a UK card with Till on. Because again, if he'd won, we're not going to have the title. Like Israel isn't going to come to the UK to defend his title. Yeah. So now that he's lost, if there is some kind of grudge fight out there, and Till. He doesn't struggle to make enemies.
No.
So if there is some kind of grudge fight out there that they can sling as a headliner in Liverpool or London, then, yeah, I think he can still draw. And, yeah, there's other people who are on the card tonight who can draw on his behalf too.
Yeah. And speaking of that...
Smooth.
Do we have any... do we have...
Teed it up. Take it home, Blake. Take it home.
I was going to say, do we have any idea of who we would want Till to fight next? Because I've got an idea, and I think it's maybe a little bit left field. It's, you know, because did you think about it? Till's only had three fights at middleweight. It's been Gastelum, Whittaker, Brunson. There are a lot of names in that division that Till could fight next. Do you have any opinions or thoughts on who you think would be good?
We mentioned it a moment ago, but I know he's got a fight lined up. But I do think Vettori's a great fight.
Yeah,
Vettori's a great fight.
Vettori's fighting Costa soon, isn't he? Would you care if Vettori wins or loses, he gets that fight, or would it be the loser or the winner?
The winner of that would be pretty well. Actually, it's got to be the loser, really, isn't it, with the UFC?
Well, so. You would think maybe it could be the loser of Costa Vettori. I'm going a little bit left field because I think that
Amanda Nunes.
Amanda Nunes. No, we want to give Till an easy fight. You mentioned Kevin Holland.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because how fun will that build up be? Because again, look, Till's not going to be fighting for a title anytime soon.
He needs a step down in opponent.
He needs a step down in
opponent. Neither of them want any ground game anymore.
It's going to be a good, fun stand-up fight.
Yeah.
Kevin Holland, cool Matt. Big mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Darren Till, who's the biggest kind of Twitter troll in the UFC and all that stuff. The build-up would be incredible. The fight itself will be a stand-up, brilliant striking match. I know Kevin Holland's fighting Carl Dorcas soon. Personally, scrap that fight. Just scrap it. Give Carl Dorcas someone else.
Because
Kevin Holland versus... But then, to be fair, if Kevin Holland wins or loses that fight against Carl Dorcas... the Till fight still makes sense.
If he wins, it makes more sense.
It's true. Yes, if he wins, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I think that that could be a really fun fight.
Otherwise, it is a fight for silver and bronze in the Brunson in the Brunson opponents. So, yes. So Brunson's got gold.
The Brunson League.
And now the losers have to fight to see who comes second and third.
That's it. Any other thoughts on Till Brunson before we move on?
Brunson was great.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
We need to give props to Brunson.
Because it was, again, it started on his feet and it was pretty much the same every round. First 2 minutes, Till would be able to use, and it was a small cage as well, but Till would be able to use his movement, get some strikes off. But Brunson then got it to the mat pretty easily every time, 3 minutes in.
And the brutality on the mat. A lot of people talk about smothering wrestling and it shouldn't, it doesn't score if you're not doing damage. That didn't have to come into conversation because he was doing damage. He's so explosive and it's rare that people can bring that explosiveness into the ground game because it has to be that real short range explosiveness and he certainly can.
So he was on his knees the whole time for that first round, full torque, all the elbows, total control.
Hands not touching the mat, not touching hands on Till the whole time.
And everything landed. You look at all those replays, that right eye of Till's took damage constantly when it was on the ground. Second round when he went down, he smothered him a lot more. Lots of horrible stuff, forearms in the neck, then posturing up. And every shot was... And that's just technically brilliant. Technically fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just destructive.
Disciplined as well with it. That explosiveness paired with discipline of keeping that control. Often, again, the explosiveness will come at the cost of leaving openings. He wasn't leaving a lot... Again, there wasn't anyone looking to exploit any openings, I guess, but... He wasn't leaving much.
And in between rounds, after the first round, Till was saying, I just couldn't stand up. I just couldn't get up.
Couldn't get up.
And then second round, when he come out for the third round, I mean, I said it as well, I thought Till looked broken. Hmm. You know, his face didn't look good. There's blood in the ear. His eye was swollen. And as you mentioned, Bright, it looked like it was still swelling. And it's like, once that gets into the later rounds, that's going to be a serious problem. And I thought he looked busted up.
The other tell is that the tap, how fast it came, because it wasn't even set. The one arm was on and he was putting the rear hand down and the tap came before that. So he was done.
Do you think that seemingly massive hole in his game is anything to do with his move up in weight class? Because you can power out of the ground game a lot better when you're a bigger guy. So Till at welterweight probably hasn't had to be as technical because he can do a Derek Lewis. He can just sit up or stand up. And there was a few points he got close to that. No technique, just trying to bench press him off.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
He's heavier lads.
But he's almost one of those fighters that's stuck between that 170, 185. Yeah. And if there was that 165, 175, whatever it would be, 80 or... The division in between, basically, that's the one I'm talking about. I think that would suit him better because he was devastating at welterweight. You watch the highlights on the build-up, what he did to Cowboy Cerrone, what he was doing, knocking people out, controlling them. Gorilla, that's the nickname.
And is that a little bit of a myth, though?
But this is the other thing. I didn't want to say it as an excuse because it always feels like you try and make an excuse and you fit him in between weight classes. But
because we talk about welterweight and you think Masvidal was a guy that hadn't fought for a while and was coming up from lightweight. Knocked him out. Woodley, we've seen what's happened to him since the Till fight. Now, I don't know, we can all assume what happened with Woodley mentally and all those things, but he's knocked down Till very easily, then dealt with him on the ground, and then Woodley went and faced Usman, and since then he hasn't lost a single fight, including one against a YouTuber. So, I mean, it sounds harsh,
The podcast... I weren't so lucky then, was it?
I think the rule is...
It doesn't count with... As long as you got your shirt on. It's the MMA fan podcast, not the YouTube boxing podcast, all right? And you have to come on during the week.
With your shirt on and not in space.
Yeah.
Small print.
The luck is contained to within Earth.
Yeah, yeah, one stratosphere.
If you're in orbit, it's not going to reach that far.
Exactly.
For those of absolutely no idea, I should point out we didn't drop acid before we started watching UFC this evening. When Blake and I had Tyron Woodley on, he popped up on Zoom I believe he was driving...
He was driving.
Because his indicator was going on throughout most of the podcast. But he had his shirt off and he'd somehow managed to change the background on his Zoom call, even though he was driving, to out of space.
Yeah.
Which looked incredible. Surreal, to say the least.
Yes.
And, so just to give you a bit of context there as to why we was talking about him being in out of space. Well,
We have. I think we've covered that, but just very quickly, just we've mentioned how good Brunson was. Just going around the table now, are you excited to potentially see Israel Adesanya versus Derek Brunson too? Brian, yes or no?
I say no.
Pip?
No, but I don't think fights should only be booked on excitement.
Well, he's earned it, can I add small print that makes me sound better too?
Stu?
Nope.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if... I think Bronson's better than what he was. But I'd say no, I'm much more excited about the Whittaker fight.
Let's throw it to that then. Are you excited to see Derek Brunson against Whittaker?
What if Whittaker wins?
Whittaker wins. Because I don't think Brunson is leapfrogging anyone.
Do you know really? What?
In this situation, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect. I don't, if that fight is booked, it's not enough happened tonight.
Brunson's got to wait his turn, absolutely. I think Adesanya and Whittaker are so clearly one and two in the division, and no one else is really going to come close to them for a while. So I'm not really excited to see any fight involving those two other than Izzy versus Whittaker, if I'm honest. Yeah. I'd be more excited to see Cannoneer Brunson. But I think Brunson's earned the shot. Yeah. So I don't want to see him have to fight Cannoneer. I think he's earned the shot. But anyway, moving on to the co-main event, we saw what I think is possibly the best hope for a British UFC heavyweight champion that we may have for a very, very long time or ever have and definitely have had up until this point. Tom Aspinall deal with Sergei Spivak in brilliant fashion. It was meant to be Sergei Pavlovich until earlier in the week. So credit to Spivak for taking the fight on short notice. But I don't care whether he would have had 1 week or 10 weeks notice. I think Aspinall is the real deal. And I think he dealt with him in fashion.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tick fashion. What do you think, Stu?
It just looks super calm. Just devastating. A legit problem in that division, I think. Thoughts, gents, on the performance?
Yeah, I thought it was a brief technical masterclass. And again, it's what gets me so excited about Cyril Garn is at heavyweight, you're so often just relying on the intense power. You're not necessarily looking at the technique. And Garn is an example of that. And Aspinall now as well is... His footwork, his combinations, everything was on point. It was technique over power. He happens to also be quite powerful. So it's pretty good.
It's just exciting, isn't it? Like a genuine UK heavyweight prospect. Not just prospect. I think he's the real deal. Striking's amazing. Like we talked about it before about the skill set compared to Cyril Garn, maybe the second best mover in that heavyweight division. Add to that the jiu-jitsu credentials as well. Add to that, he's still young, he's composed, he doesn't seem like one of these wild... He's totally focused on what he's doing. And a heavyweight, there's something special about that size of human being getting in a cage and doing what they do. It's mad.
It's exciting that we've not seen his ground game much, but
there's
loads of talk of his ground game. And it's not your kind of Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
You know he's a black belt, and then when he does end up on the ground,
just lays there.
Oh, was he? But it, you know, it's genuinely from what I heard on the MMA fan podcast, like it's in his blood as such, and he's that's should in part be his area of expertise. But we're seeing this amazing stand up.
Mm.
And looking to what's next for him, I mean, we asked him, you know, who he's looking to fight, and he's very reluctant, and Bisping, you know, put it on him a little bit afterwards and said, like, what's next? You know, who do you want? And humble as ever, he was like, look, I know you're getting me, you know, you want me to call someone out. I don't know, maybe someone ranked above me. Like, no big call outs. You know, I don't think it's offensive to say that Tom's not a Darren Till. He's not a Mr. Marketing, is he? He's a pretty quiet guy. But I think in the heavyweight division, when you've got finishes like he's got, I don't think you need to be that.
I've seen fighters before who don't want to play the game to build their hype, but I've never seen anyone who actively wants to slow down their hype. It's amazing. He said it in the post-fight interview. He was saying, I know you will want me to call someone out or fight someone big. And he literally said, if I'm ranked 13, I want number 12.
I didn't even know the name, though.
No, he didn't even know the name. But again, you're not even saying,
just give
me
a number.
Is it
the cheese
top
desk?
10 or whatever. It's like, I want the next person above. He genuinely wants to go one at a time.
Mm.
I'll go up one place and then I'll go up one more place. They're not going to let him because he's too good and that division is too... to a lot of the matchups have happened.
Yes.
So he's fresh blood in a division that has got a lot of quite big names, but not necessarily that many new matchups because a lot of the older guys have retired recently or left, and what we're left with is people who fought each other a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I think he just has that perfect combination. As you said, he's someone that sparred with Tyson Fury and those guys at that gym, so his hands are crisp. He's got great footwork. The jiu-jitsu we've just mentioned is on point. He has everything there. And then on top of that, he's a humble, intelligent, lovely bloke when we had him on the podcast. And as you say, he wants to take things one step at a time. And I think he knows, he's only, 28 years old. He knows that heavyweights usually hit their prime a bit later than the lower weight classes as well. So he's got time on his side. And he wants to just get fights under his belt before he gets too far along the division. And then he knows that every single fight is a really, really hard fight. Because you look at the heavyweights and I would say, you know, 15 to maybe 5, 6 is just a bit, fine.
Mm.
But then you got the top kind of four, or you got like, I mean, I'm sort of counting John Jones in this, even though he hasn't made his heavyweight debut yet.
He's coming.
John Jones, Francis Ngannou, Stipe Miocic, Cyril Garn.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Lewis, we saw holes in his game a little bit against Garn, but he's still got unbelievable
Blades,
power.
The other one.
Curtis Blades.
The thing with Lewis and Rosenstruik and people like that is Aspinall hasn't really fought anyone that it only takes one mistake. And that's an interesting thing. He looked incredibly calm in there. Like over him, I always felt showed that if he was against someone he wasn't scared of getting caught, he would be so fluid and so comfortable. As soon as he's against someone who you know it only takes one mistake, he clams up and he's not attacking. Mm. So that could be an interesting test for Tom. Someone that, while I think he's technically better than many of your Lewis's or your Rosenstruik's or whoever else, we've not seen... I mean, he spoke openly on your podcast about how scared he is before every fight and how he cries at times if training doesn't go well. Could that affect things?
I love that, though. That's great. Absolutely
love
hearing
stuff like
that. That's awesome, yeah. Because it's true, the fit. Can you imagine that? Because it is. We were watching the Cahill Roundtree fight as well, and you watched some of those punches, and I was trying to imagine them coming at you.
Yeah.
And then you've sat at the back and you watch.
You looked at me when you said you. Like, I was imagining them coming at Blake and you'd be smile on your face.
But it's as at heavyweight is like your life can change in a second in there.
So that could be interesting, like to see how his game changes in against those people who it takes one small mistake and you could be out.
But so exciting to have him as a UK fighter as well. That's
very, very exciting. And I mean, my thoughts on next opponent, I think a good one in terms of moving him up, but not giving him too much to worry about yet, letting him build. Augusto Sakai is on a 2-fight losing streak. He's ranked 10th, so it would move Tom into the top 10 of the division. I think that could be a good one because I don't think it's something so far ahead of him that he will struggle too much. I think he would have the speed and the footwork over Sakai. So I think that's a good shout. Stu, I can see you looking at some rankings there. You got any thoughts?
Sakai.
Sakai's for you, yeah?
Sign it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Have you said that because there's some really awkward surnames at heavyweight? Like, I've just heard Blake say that one. Let's
Rose. Curtis.
It's just you scrolled up and down. I went, yep, Sakai.
Well, I mean, I
think maybe Schmidt. Walt Harris.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Bring in Walt.
The other really exciting young prospect at heavyweight is Chris Dorcas. And I think it'd be nice to keep Aspinall and Dorcas away from each other for a bit. Let them fight the older guys that, you know, because these two have just come through the division. Now, Dorcas has a fight booked against... Ah, who is Dorcas fighting? I've completely lost it. I'm not sure who Dorcas is fighting next, but I know he has got a fight booked up.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other exciting thing I mentioned earlier was that Chris Dorcas is a police officer. Stipe Miocic is a fireman, so we want to see that fight happen at some point in the future.
100%.
Come on, Pitt.
I want one to walk out to the theme tune to The Bill and one to the theme tune of Casualty.
Whether that happens or not, you got to dub it. You got to do the video, dub it out, 100%. Sun Hill is good.
Fighting out of Sun Hill. Fighting out of Holding.
So where are we going to go next on this card? I'm just mindful of time. So we've been going half an hour now. We're going to kind of focus on...
We'll focus on the Brits.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that, you know, we've had on the show and they're the ones that people want to talk about. And I suppose if we go through who's been probably the most talked about fighter on the card outside of maybe Darren Till, then we got to go straight to...
Paddy Pitt in Liverpool.
No,
it almost was watching the fight. Oh my God!
What a roller coaster!
Oh, dude, unbelievable! Like it had everything, absolutely everything. That fight, that the anticipation, all the hype from him coming in, then almost getting knocked out and then turning it around. It was the perfect coming out party for Paddy Pimblett. In my eyes, it was, yeah, the roller coaster that you want. And at the end of it, we were all exhausted, but elated at the same time.
What a first 4 minutes in the UFC.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it was incredible.
And completely, him to come out and steamroll someone, it would have been cool.
Yeah.
But him getting tested and getting rocked and coming through and showing maturity in that way, as you say, everything you want. And then the perfect post-fight interview as well. Just his charming self. His charming, outrageous self. Yeah, it's perfect.
Can we talk about the little game that we had for his post-fight
interview?
Of course. Which was how many times Paddy would say, lad.
Yeah.
And I believe, Pip, did you win this?
No, I didn't bet.
No, we were in between. So he had 10, I had 6, and he hit 8. So I think he was being the gentleman and sorting it out for us.
So that's a nice little drinking game for anyone. That if you're watching the UFC, how many times does Paddy say, lad, in a post or pre-fight interview? There you go.
What about Bisping's interview? Though, mate, Bisping on the mic tonight was unreal.
So
Paddy was like, I was that for the thing. He almost got knocked out. Hang on, lad, you almost got knocked out. But tell us about the finish. Not how you start, it's how you finish. Don't know why I've made him a game show host, but that's fine. Come on, lad, this is what you're gonna want. Speedball.
But Paddy came out really fast. He was throwing the kicks. It looked like he was, because he said in previous interviews he's after the bonus. He's not just there to win. He's after the bonus, and we haven't seen the bonuses yet come through. I don't know who's got the bonuses yet, but God, he's got a good chance. There, he's got a good chance. Because
trying to think, there, he's got a very good chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Was Irosa Jordan maybe fight of the night? But you could almost say that that one round, that 4 minutes, could have been fight of the night in itself, though it didn't go more than one round. Yeah. It was one-way traffic, epic. Then it went completely the other way. Paddy was trying to throw some really fancy kicks early on, and I think got himself caught. Maybe he was trying to come out too quick, too impressive. And then he ended up just landing those punches, and once he smelt blood, he really went for the kill.
The finish was superb. The flurry, especially the right hand at the end. But the other bit that was great was when he got hurt and he managed to get back to his feet. He didn't chase to try and get that back. It wasn't like, all right, you've hurt me, I've got to hurt you back. He was composed and he built that finish. He was still calm in that. And that's, you've got to think, with the UFC, and he talked about in a lot of his interviews, he's not got nerves. He's fought in the Echo Arena and walking out in front of 150 people, piece of piss. That's what how he saw it. You can say that, but doing it and then having the UFC gloves on, seeing Dana and Sean Shelby there, seeing the lights, the branding, all the stuff that has been talked about around you for so long, the adrenaline dump that goes on with that, getting hurt, and then the composure to come back. That's the bit for me that shows he's in the right spot.
Yeah, it's completely. And I think, like we were saying before it started, is it's exciting and nerve-wracking because he's wild. And there's all the comparisons to Conor because of what side of the Atlantic he's on. But Tony Ferguson became a fan favourite because he's wild and he will get rocked and he will get hurt and he'll somehow come through. And if Paddy can, I mean, I'd rather he didn't get hurt along the way, but if he can continue to show that, the sky's the limit for the lad. Because that was, that's all of us sat there at one point going, this is horrible, I don't want to watch. And then at the end, that was perfect. But, that was exactly what needed to happen.
But I think we all forgot that Scousers don't get knocked out. That's what we forgot. We were all worried about the knockout, but Scousers don't get knocked out.
That's going to be such a good... If he can manage to have a few, as Blake said, I think, if he can manage to get rocked a few times and get through, they can reuse that clip over and over again.
That is it. It's going to be a great promo. And then the fact that he's also talking about that, I'm the new cash cow, I'm the one everyone's going to want to fight. Obviously, that kind of talk does rub a lot of people up the wrong way. Those of us that are already fans of Paddy in the UK, and particularly the people in Liverpool, will love him for it. And the people in, say, America that don't know him, that are like, who the hell is this kid? Why is he talking like this? They'll want to fight him now. They'll want to shut him up. And that's a great business thing for Paddy in a sense, because he's not going to be short of people wanting to fight him. It's the same thing with, I know he's not there yet, but it's that Sean O'Malley effect. If you talk the right way, you will have people wanting to fight you. People won't be turning down fights for you. They'll want to fight you, whether they're ranked, unranked, any of that stuff. And if Paddy keeps going, if he gets another one or two wins and keeps cutting promos like that, he will have that effect. And people in the rankings will be like, I'll take the fight with Paddy because I want to shut him up and I want to get the eyeballs and the social media following and all that stuff.
But the really exciting thing is, unlike most people who talk like that, he's quite literally got the receipts because of the tickets he sold in Liverpool. And things like Sean O'Malley will talk about being the new big star. He's not sold out any cards like on his own as such. But what Paddy did with the Echo Arena and things like that, as Brian was saying about other fighters who were on the card who get a certain allocation, anyone who hadn't sold their allocation,
they
gave them to Paddy, sold another 200 in an hour, and so on and so forth. So he's quite literally, like, when he says he's the new cash cow, he's got facts and history to back it up. It's not just a young fighter going, I'm hot, I'm popular. He's going, no, look, I will sell out
it
arenas.
He turned down the UFC because of that.
Because he would, get better cuts on his
bigger
his ticket
money.
Sales
a lot more. Yeah.
We're going to see something interesting when we see him walk out. If it's in America, next time when there's a crowd there, the amount of Scousers that are going to fly out to watch him fight, we're going to start seeing what we saw with Conor again. It's going to be absolute scenes, and I can't wait for it.
We've got to go. We've got to go. Come on, boys. We've got to do a Vegas trip.
Right. Should we go from one Scouser to another Scouser?
Yeah, mate.
Let's go to the meatball.
The people's champ. People's champ.
100%.
There was so much pressure going into the fight. Molly was on a 2-fight losing streak, and this was the last fight on her UFC contract. If she was beat, it was highly possible she could have been cut from the UFC. She knew that, and you could see the emotion in her walking out to the octagon, standing in there, waiting for the fight to begin when her name's being announced and all that stuff. And I got a bit nervous for her, and I was worried, because we love Molly. Molly's been on the show a couple of times now, and she's always got such a great personality, and she seems such a wonderful human being. And for her to go out there and put on that performance against a tough opponent, I mean, the 10-inch reach advantage and stuff like that,
crazy.
And she just marauded forward, grinded out an amazing roll, and was landing some brilliant strikes. How did we all feel about Molly winning?
Well, she ran headfirst into the fight, didn't she? Quite literally.
Yeah.
To her detriment in the first round with a clash of heads. But yeah, amazing. What a scrapper.
And that was a worry, wasn't it?
Oh, 100%. And it was felt like she wanted it so bad that she was causing herself problems because she was throwing big hooks. Kim was throwing straight shots. She was catching it. She was hitting Kim, but it wasn't seem to have a lot of effect. Then there was
really
the head clash. Clacking her. And when they clashed heads, Molly dropped. And again, we were talking about how would that look in the judges' eyes. And I think possibly we called it as far as that they would have classed it as a knockdown in real time. They might have thought that was an actual punch. But
as we did.
We were panicked.
Like we were saying she ran straight onto that, thinking it was a counter.
A straight shot, but she survived. And then round two was the comeback. That's when the momentum started to switch. But round three was where it was all heart. 100% all heart. The pressure, the finish, even at the end, pointing at the thing, let's go. She has just earned herself a new UFC contract.
Some real Max Holloway shit.
Oh, mate.
Clearly won the round and still going.
Let's go.
In the middle and fight. It's like, no. You should be easing off now. Yeah, there's 10 seconds left.
Let's not take any risks.
She's like, no, let's slug it out.
She was... the first one, she was wild. By the end, she was technical. The head movement was amazing.
Yeah.
She talked about in your podcast training with Dakota Decheva, who is a phenomenal striker, very similar sort of size to the opponent. That work certainly showed within that. And then it was the emotion of it. We were all so happy that she. Yeah. Even when the judges were going through, you obviously get a bit nervous with the scores, but there was no way they could give that any other way. And she earned every moment. And whatever comes from that was earned in that three rounds. It was amazing.
I just love that she also, as soon as Bisping came in to interview her, she just gave him
give
a big
a bevy.
Hug.
Oh, what was it?
She just gave him a big hug. And then just, my heart was just going, I was like, oh, man. Yeah. It was so lovely to see. And I hope she is on the bevies.
Case side for Paddy as well. As soon as he
running out, as soon as he won in her kit still.
It's such a bond there, and again, that's just lovely to see. It's like I think Paddy's called her his big sister, and it's just really lovely to see those relationships on the telly, not just like what you hear about in the gym or you hear about in interviews, to actually see it on the broadcast in their biggest moments. She's coming out to support him after such a big win, and I really love both those guys, and I hope that things keep going well for both of them.
And I hope that the UFC see that relationship and that kind of bond, and then what that means to the UK and obviously Liverpool, essentially.
And keep putting them on cards.
Definitely. Definitely.
Really good look.
Really bizarre situation that in the world, Darren Till is obviously a far bigger fighter than Paddy Pimblett. But in Liverpool, Paddy Pimblett is arguably a bigger fighter
than
Darren Till.
Not even arguably.
Because Darren moved abroad for his whole career, really. So he's from Liverpool, but more... It's so weird. So in America, I'd say Darren Till is a far bigger draw than Paddy or Molly. In Liverpool, you put Paddy and Molly on there, and they'll do the
That's
job.
That's all you need. Yeah. We've got nine fights that you put two fights in the Echo, and it would still sell out with those two.
Proper... CM Punk business where you'd have to have them opening the card because they haven't earned a headline, but they'll be the ones that are selling the tickets. Bizarre. Weird situation.
So, outside of England, the other UK representative was the Pride of Wales, Jack the Tank Shaw. I mean, we were speaking about this earlier, but it seems like he really has got the ability to potentially go on and challenge for a title. He's 15-0 now, 4-0 in the UFC. However, it does feel to me like his road is going to be a long one because from a fan perspective, there isn't that highlight reel knockout or highlight reel submission. He's grinding out results. He's dominant. And absolutely dominant, but much like what we've seen from the likes of Leon Edwards and Arnold Allen, I worry that he's not going to get the favour of the kind of top UFC brass who want those viral moments, because Jack doesn't give that. He's just a world-class mixed martial artist.
I'm furious at him, guys. And I don't know, Jack Shaw.
Sit down, Pip.
I love
put your
interview.
Top back on,
Pip.
Man.
I'm sorry.
Give me the knife, Pip.
I loved him on your podcast. I've heard him on other podcasts. I've just seen a lot of him. I think he's amazing. But what he needs at this point in his career is either a finish or a call out or both. And he offered up neither. He looked amazing. And it's fine to not get a finish. I'm not a fighter, yet I'm aware how fucking hard it is to get a finish. So at no point am I going to diminish anyone's work. And when it's that dominant. But he is in control of it getting to the end and going, here's who I want to fight. And calling someone out and trying to make something happen around him rather than just be this amazing fighter that, again, we've seen people from the UK get it completely ignored if they're not. I mean, you look over the card, you look at Paddy and you look at Darren Till, both fighters who haven't got as good a record as Jack Shaw. Obviously fought better people in Till's example, but not got as good a record as Shaw.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got a mouth on him. And yeah, he needs to be... Again, I'm not saying fake it. I'm not saying slag people off, but you could go, right, if I win, here's a couple of people I think I'd like to fight next, and just say those names. It doesn't have to be, it can be as polite as he is. It can be as lovely as he is. It doesn't have to be aggressive or audacious or anything else, but you need to do something.
That, those moments are so important. They are those because that mic time, that camera time is as important as getting your hand raised. And you see the difference. Like if Paddy had just said that, even with that knockout, if he'd just been quiet on the mic, it would still been a great finish. Yeah, lots of respect. But he's done the finish. He's added the soundbite that's going to go viral. Molly, the moments, the emotion that comes through with there, you get the performances out of Jack Shaw as far as the wins, but you just need that X, and somebody's got to help him do that. If it's not natural, you've got to prep him. Right, ask for this fighter, do this. You don't have to
just
be
give
forced.
Him a name.
Give him a name.
A couple of names. It doesn't have to be a big name. Yeah. But you can. There's something for
the media to ask
to
about. Yeah, because you'll be sat at that press thing, and they won't ask you a question because you've given them nothing. Whereas you think about what the media's all going to be about, the Paddy, Molly, tomorrow. That's what it's going to be about.
Tom Aspinall.
But Shaw deserves it with his skill set, but he's just not. He's got to make more of those moments.
And you can be respectful. As you say, you don't have to be like slagging anyone off. You can be very respectful.
Pick a name.
But you can pick a name. And the name that I think would have been really good for him to say would have been Rafael Sanzal.
Wow.
Rafael Sanzal is, you know, he's been around for a very long time. He's very well known. I think he's ranked 12.
Yeah.
So you'd be
straight
into that top
15. He was the boogeyman for a long time. He was avoided
for so long. Yeah, yeah,
and
yet
now he's on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah.
So I know calling someone out on a losing streak isn't always like seen as the best thing to do, but if you're ranked 12, if you're in that top 15, you're up for grabs
you're
as far as I'm
up,
concerned.
Aren't you?
You're still punching
above
up.
You in the rankings.
It would be Jack Shaw's toughest matchup to date. And from a Sanzal's position, surely on a 3-fight losing streak, you can't be too choosy.
Yeah.
And if you've got the opportunity to go, okay, this guy's 15-0, but he hasn't fought anyone to my standard yet. if I beat him, I prove to the UFC that I'm still relevant. Because I don't know how many fights left the Sunsell's got on his contract. Yeah. But if he's three losses on the bounce and he's only got one or two fights left on his contract, he's got to do something to renegotiate in a good position. Mm. And beating an undefeated prospect like Jack Shaw, I think would be a great thing for him to do. So it works for a Suntao. It definitely works for Jack Shaw. Other names out there would be... I mean, I think I'd like to see him get one more win before he dives into someone at the level of like a Pedro Munhoz. Mm. I think that might be a bit too soon. But then you've got people like Cody Stamann as well. Anyone in that 11 to 15 range is good. But I think a Suntao just really makes sense on so many levels. He's such a big name.
Yeah.
And I think it could be a winnable fight. Jack would be going in with all the momentum into that fight. And if he'd have just said that name, he could have just... That could have been conjured up into reality. But I mean, look, we I feel like we sound like we're sort of getting down on him for not doing the post-fight stuff. But let's just reiterate that during the fight, he was fantastic. I mean,
let's reiterate, I'm furious with him.
But I think we're furious as well because
he's so good.
But also, like when on the podcasts you hear him, on like your part, his personality is great.
Yeah.
But we don't see
it. Doesn't have to change anything.
He doesn't have to change a thing. And again, it's positive frustration because we see everything in him. We just want those moments where you're like, right, now you've got something next. Now we know what's coming.
But Blake's right. Like, how good was he? He looked great.
Shalinian is an international like wrestling champion.
Yeah.
And Jack out-wrestled him.
Yeah.
Which is just superb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again. And for a UK guy to have wrestling as his strength, again, it's exactly. so unexpected and it unheard is. Of. That's why it feels like there could be stories there. There could be waves being made and media excitement. Because again, you generally, as Bisping talked about, you're generally getting wrestling being a weakness. Or DC was saying that wrestling in general from the UK is a weakness. But not with this lad.
And again, we've seen him fight in an empty arena. Like Paddy and Molly, Jack Shaw's a big deal in the valleys. Yeah. He has got a diehard following, hasn't he?
Yep.
So maybe we'll see potentially a more animated Jack Shaw post-fight interview if we've got the Welsh voices there screaming for him. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing him in his next fight, and it'd be great to hear some Welsh voices in the crowd.
And I think we... would be remiss if we didn't say that we made a slight mistake, or I made a slight mistake on the...
We? Where did you make any mistakes tonight, Pip?
Blake Harrison, do declare that I made a slight mistake because I read, I believe it was on Tapology, but, you know, not pointing any fingers, that the fight, because there was two last-minute replacements, was going to be a 150-pound catchweight bout between Jack Shaw and Shalinian. And the person that put me in my place and told me that that was not true in the politest possible way was one Mr. Richard Shaw, Jack Shaw's dad. And it was very, very nice of him to tell me that I was completely wrong. And we had a lovely chat, and hopefully we're going to get Richard on the show very, very soon, which would be nice. But so we just had to say sorry to Jack and sorry to Jack's dad, Richard. For getting that wrong. It was £135.
Can you stop saying we?
Seriously, mate. Listen.
I'm taking you down with me. We're in this together.
I mean, I would now like to clarify to Jack's dad that I was joking about being furious with him. It's all love. It's all love. I think he's wonderful.
No, but that'd be good. I'd love to get Jack and Rich on at the same time. That'd be lovely.
It should be all the dads, because there was four. Was there four dads in the corner?
Just get all the dads on. That'd be brilliant.
It'd be so nice to have two people on with a similar age difference as you two. to get that dynamic.
As soon as the word dad come, I thought it's a matter of time. Yeah. It's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Now I've seen them in the same room together. I was going to ask how they met, but I was going to do it more discreetly to you, Pip, on a WhatsApp.
Little does anyone know, Stu's actually filed some papers to adopt me.
Oh, brilliant.
So, I mean, we've covered the majority of the British fighters on the card. Obviously, we had Modestas Bukauskas, who is Lithuanian born but has been trains in Britain and raised in Britain. He did not have a great night.
Tough night.
He was fighting Khalil Rountree. Both he and Khalil Rountree were on two fight losing streaks. And there was one of those kind of vicious, like, oblique kicks or kind of lead leg side kicks to Bukauskas' lead leg.
Nasty.
And it just kind of crumbled. And I think did Bisping say in the post-fight interview,
which is quite immediate, MCL, PCL.
Yeah, the doctor basically told Bisping
completely ruined him.
Every EL or CL in Modestus' leg has gone. So it looks like it could be a really bad injury for him.
And again,
and it's a three-fight losing streak, so it's not good for him.
He put that forward in an interview and said, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about doing that?
It's not the finish.
Sorry,
but he kept saying as well, it's not the finish you would have wanted. That's one of the best fit. Like, as far as...
Brutal. Right? Effectively, a one-punch knockout, but to the leg.
To the leg.
Like, that doesn't generally happen.
And they've done the replay. They retimed it, how he read when Modestus stepped forward with a jab, he plants that foot, and he timed the foot. It was all completely intended, but Bisping was like, it's not how you would have wanted it to game show Bisping
again.
No,
I did.
Not how you would have wanted it
to have been our Dan Anderson finished Stu, but, can't have it all.
Stu!
They say, like, obviously when you hit pads, to hit through the pad.
Yeah.
I mean, he kicked that knee and kicked through the knee, and it was
quite
unpleasant to see.
But, I mean, I need to get on record that my theory that Khalil Rountree is a method actor, because he comes into every fight a completely different style of fighter, and I think he's just playing characters. We were gutted when it ended and he had his usual accent. We were really hoping he was going to be British for this one.
That's right.
But yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? How much his style has changed in the number of fights he's had. Yet, at least for one fight each time, he executes that style. Amazing. It's weird. Normally, the next time it happens, he has holes. And maybe it is the kind of surprise of it. If you prepare for what you think he will be and then he comes out different, then that could be a real spanner in the works kind of thing.
I just love that thought of him spending 8 to 12 weeks as a completely different human each time. Daniel Day-Lewis-ing it.
Yeah. I know
totally.
What's on my Christmas list. I want a little Khalil Rountree game of Guess Who with each one's
because I do remember very clearly that I think it was the Eric Anders fight where he just got back from Thailand and he was doing the whole that kind of like lead leg raise, like the
proper
leg
raise. He was front knee tonight a bit.
The Gokansaki one was just a
Muay Thai fighter.
Bizarre. And previously have been more had more wrestling in his game and seemed more of a power takedown type guy in those early fights. It's curious. And until that kick, he was very much a brawling boxer more in this one. He was
Bobby Duran coming in.
A hunch stance and marching forward, throwing, taking chunks out of it. Power shots as well. Smashed his nose across his face.
Yep. It's been a lot of firsts tonight. So a lot of firsts. Like, Blake saw his first ever female Domino's delivery lady. That was a first. Are we going to have a first where we're going to praise Herb Dean for his fast stoppage on that?
Yes,
because actually,
really quickly,
understanding how much damage was caused in that lead kick, that's you've really got to know what's going on with. And the speed at which he stepped in actually was. I'm going to say good refereeing, lads?
Yeah,
going to agree?
I thought that was great. I thought, and again, particularly for such an unusual kind of finish, that could take a lot of refs a few seconds to go, hang on, what
down,
do I do here?
Do
I have to wait for him to tap? Because sometimes if it is an injury, the fighter has to tap on the mat or whatever.
He knew exactly. I thought it was great.
Straight away, done.
And saved any unnecessary stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, that is going to be a terrible injury to come back from. So for Modestus, obviously, speedy recovery.
Yeah,
and 100%. It'll be interesting if he keeps his contract. I hope he does. But we'll see.
We were saying how unfortunate it seemed that he was left out of a lot of the pre-hype in the media in general of the Brits. Because he is a Brit. And it was such a... because of the flag he uses on his... like when they have the little photo there and things like that, I guess he was left out, but that felt harsh because I hadn't particularly realised until fighting.
But the
London,
image, I noticed it on the posters as well. They had the all the Scouse fighters, Jack Shaw in there, but no Modestus.
Harsh.
Well, I mean, we'll have to hope that he's still in the UFC after this. I don't know if this was the last fight on his contract or he's got one more, but if he's got a big injury that keeps him out for a while and he's on a free fight losing streak, the UFC not necessarily known for being the most kind of like
compassionate.
I think that they could cut that, so hopefully that doesn't happen for him. We've covered all the Brits now that were on the card. I mean, I don't know if anyone's got any thoughts about any other fights. I mean, Irosa beating Charles Air Jourdain, love that nickname, was a really good fight. And I think Irosa looked phenomenal.
Really
he
did.
Took the fight at short notice as well and just really, really looked good. And he's someone that's got some history with Paddy Pimblett. This was a 150-pound catchweight fight. Irosa usually start fights at featherweight. Paddy and Irosa fought years ago on the Cage Warriors fight at featherweight. Paddy won by, I think it was a unanimous decision. It might have been split, but I think it was a unanimous decision. It was a close fight. And it was the famous one where Paddy, in the post-fight interview, threw up. And people on the internet thought, oh my God, this guy's just thrown up blood. Actually, he'd just thrown up Ferrero Rocher because he'd been having like Ferrero Rocher
Mr.
hot
Ambassador,
chocolate.
You're spoiling us.
He'd thrown up a Ferrero Rocher hot chocolate that he got just before the fight. And I think that's one of the things that Paddy said he's not doing anymore. He's, you know, he's far more professional
now. He's cut down on Ferrero Rocher chocolates.
Maltesers, man.
Yeah, keeping it lighter.
I mean, he looked in incredible shape, didn't he, tonight?
Irosa looked really, really good. And I mean, that could be a fight that makes sense. There's history there. Irosa looked good. They'll be on the same timeline.
There's stories. There's the video of Paddy throwing up and so on and so forth that will go around the internet. People will get excited about it and find it amusing. I think it's an interesting one. I think you're right there. That could be an easy matchup for them to not do a lot of thinking. I think the UFC, in my opinion, have dropped the ball a bit on matchmaking with a lot of these Cage Warriors lads in recent years. There's been a lot of lads that have come through who haven't been given any chance to be built and have gone straight in at quite a high level. And they're guys who've got mad potential.
Yeah.
And
Mason Jai Herbert, Reese McKee. Reese McKee's back at Cage Warriors now. He'll be competing on the trilogy, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes it an easy one. Like, oh, here's two people. They've fought before. They're on a similar level. There we go. Rather than them potentially go, let's sling them in against whoever, and then it be too much too soon. And they've got, as we've said, they've got potential lightning in a jar with Paddy.
That's the thing. You've got to be careful. I mean, I almost wonder if you're the UFC brass and you're looking at Paddy as a potential next cash cow, did Irosa look too good? I don't know
that's
to take
shout,
that risk.
As well. He looked phenomenal. That's the fight I came in on, and he just looked. He beasted it from start. Yeah. And the finish was great as well. The Dars or Bravo, as Bisping called it.
Yeah. I mean, I just think one of the things I'm taking from this is seeing Paddy make his debut tonight. The fact that one of the most exciting, most talked about fighters that everybody's going to be discussing tomorrow from the UK.
Yeah,
loving that.
Yep.
And what a time to be alive and still up. Only half 12, boys.
Hey.
Honestly.
I think we're in the golden age of UK MMA at the moment.
I agree.
I mean,
speaking of golden age, let's talk about golden touch. So this podcast, if people have got fights coming up.
That's it.
Fighting managers need to get in touch because 4-5-5? 4-4-4?
Well, 5-5. 5-5 if you count Aspinall.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And again, you're being very gracious in potentially saying 4-4-4 because Aspinall wasn't on this particular week. He's a former guest, and that's
So we should actually say that if this is your first time listening to the podcast, then go and we spoke to all the fighters in the lead up to it, most of the British fighters this week, haven't we?
Yep.
Mini episodes talking about their prep and stuff.
Go and look at the back catalogue of fucking winners.
Absolutely.
Not Tyrone Woodley.
Get long formed chats with a lot of them fighters as well, plus a whole host of wonderful fighters and other pre and post fights, including the two gentlemen sitting with us this evening.
And also we've got a few episodes on our new YouTube channel. Check that out as well. Right. Any final thoughts, guys? Words of wisdom for the people listening?
I'm just gagging for a Ferrero Rocher hot chocolate, mate. Can we shut this shit down? Let me go.
My only thought is that everything went up. Obviously, other than Darren Till, but for those new UK fighters, everything went right tonight. It was heartbreaking that this was moved from London. But the reality is, when they can fight in London, the reaction is going to be 10 times what it would have been this time round, because they've gone there and they've shown it on the UFC. As you've said numerous times on the podcast, Blake, there's going to be a lot of people who just don't watch Cage Warriors or any of these other things and aren't aware of that. They've now seen Molly and Paddy have their real moments in the UFC. So when it does come to London, or I would rather Liverpool, that's going to be electric.
And so just to touch on some things that you gents are up to before we wind things up. Pip, obviously...
I'm just going to go to bed, I think. I don't know what you've got planned.
We've got a bubble bath, haven't we, me and you? Didn't we promise each other a bath?
I'm going out to bed, I'm locking my door, and I'm leaving you guys to do whatever you want to do.
Put your earphones in, mate.
I mean, obviously, you've got a podcast, Pip,
yes.
A real pioneer of the game. If people haven't listened to it and they're big fans of MMA, you've had some absolute legends on, right?
Yeah, I've had Dan Hardy on twice, I think, but we've done about 4 hours because everyone turns into a two-part podcast because we get into it. Rory McDonald, everyone's favourite ref, Mark Goddard. A whole load of great MMA fighters. MVP.
Yep.
MVP, who's got a huge rematch coming up in London.
Yes.
That's going to be very
1st.
Excited. In fact, I'd like to hear him on here to talk about that. So
that'd
we'll have
nice,
to
wouldn't
hook
it?
Some stuff up. But loads of good MMA people over the years.
So just search Distraction Pieces, yeah?
Search Distraction Pieces and have a scroll through the old back catalogue.
Lovely stuff. When you're back off to Russia, Bri?
Next week, go to the glorious Belarus, which will be interesting. Then I've got the Czech Republic coming up as well for Octagon, which is a great promotion. They do shows over in Slovakia and Czech Republic, and they've got a really interesting format, whole TV show behind it. And I was out there in July, and they had an open air, full 7,000 in this big tennis arena. Show. It was phenomenal. So absolutely phenomenal. So excited to go back there. And then where else after that? Kazakhstan for the IMAFs, I think, for the World Amateur Championship. So lots of bobbing about. The world's opening.
Lovely stuff.
But it's good. It's good. Nice to have been here with you boys, though. Physically here as well.
Oh, it's been great. It's been
lovely, yeah. Isn't it? A nice early card. Oh. Pizza, as we're watching.
Yeah.
Oh. Heaven.
Cookies.
Cookies.
And a bath. We'll be back next time, right?
See you later, guys.